Hello, and welcome back to the Paranormal Podcast. My name is Dan Pasella, lead investigator for Orange County, New York Paranormal, and thank you for coming back. If you are new to the proceedings, welcome. Wherever you're listening to this, please subscribe, rate, review, tell your friends as we're looking to grow the podcast. If you're watching the video version of this on Facebook and YouTube, make sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment as we do both the audio and the visual version of the podcast. So today's episode is mostly comprised of an interview. We are going to continue to interview folks that we've met along the way. And today we have someone who we met at the Museum of Wayne County History named Rhea Hayes, the former executive director that we're going to talk to. Before we get into that, however, I do want to point out something and thank someone. The publishers of American Paranormal Press, I want to thank them. We were actually featured on their cover and in an article in the American Paranormal Press New York edition of their monthly magazine. I'll put a link to the article in the description below of the podcast. That was a lot of fun interviewing for that, being a part of that, and we want to thank them for that. It was great to be it's always fun to be interviewed. It's always fun to be on podcasts and in magazines. And in this case, we've never been on the cover before, so that was pretty cool. So I will, as I said, I'll put that link there. You can check out that article. So, as I said earlier, today's episode is mostly going to be an interview with Rhea Hayes. And one of the reasons that we really chose to talk to Rhea first is because we're always interested in the people we meet along the way and how going into a situation where, you know, you weren't expecting necessarily to have the paranormal be such a huge part of your job and how that affects your mindset, what kind of experiences you have because of that, and if it changes you. And that's what we're going to talk to Rhea about, to see if these experiences shape new opinions or just reinforced old ones. Did the experiences she have at the Museum of Wayne County History change her belief in the paranormal? Well, let's go out to Lyons, New York, sit down with Rhea, and find out. Hello, as promised, we are on location here in Lyons, New York, with Rhea Hayes, former executive director of the Museum of Wayne County History. We took this opportunity to be here with Rhea because in about 2 hours, we're going to be investigating the theater across the street with Rhea and Margo, who are with us for our Wayne County investigations. There are two of them. The second one will be premiering very shortly after this podcast comes out, hence wanting to talk to Rhea about many things. But one of the things we really wanted to dive into is not so much, you know, paranormal experience, paranormal events, things like that, but the mindset and how entering an environment, whether you expect it or not, that's paranormal, changes you, changes how you look at things. People don't always sign up for what they get when they find themselves working in a place that's haunted, especially a place as haunted as the Museum of Wayne County History because of the prison there. So Rhea, thank you so much for taking the time. Good to see you.
So good to see you again.
Yes. Can you tell us just a basic background, what you're doing, what got you here, and what you're up to now?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is kind of across the board. It's a lot of different things. I started in TV, and then I went and worked at the Museum of Wayne County History as the director there for a little bit. And then now I'm doing a little bit of everything. I started my own business, and I make websites and do social media for various small businesses, clients, entrepreneurs. And I'm kind of a bit of a communication specialist for my job. Well, executive assistant, I suppose.
It's all right. I have a degree in communications. Nothing. It's all good. It's such a wide range of things.
It's a lot.
but good. Yeah, just to give the folks an idea of where you came from. And if you've watched our videos or if you've seen the Wayne County video, you've seen Rhea and Margo in those videos before. So my question is, before you got to the Museum of Wayne County History, did you believe in paranormal?
Definitely. Absolutely. Through experiences, through stories, through just that feeling, you know? Yeah. Absolutely.
So you comfortable sharing any of the experiences you had before you got there?
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, for me, the most notable thing I would say was when I was a kid. I actually had an experience in my own house. I haven't had anything like this happen again since it did. I single digits, maybe eight. I am an only child, but I really wanted to have bunk beds for whatever reason that was. I don't know. But I remember vividly sitting on the top bunk in my room. It was super late, maybe 2 a.m., and couldn't tell you what I was doing, but I do remember hearing boots walking down my hallway, like out, right outside of my door, and just stopping in front of my door. The weird thing about it is that I'm on the second floor of my house, and there's stairs. And, you know, growing up in the same house, you know how those stairs sound. You also can tell who is walking up those stairs at a certain point. And the stairs started at the top two, as if, like, just started in the middle, but more like
so
top.
Not from the bottom.
Correct. There's, like, 14 steps, and this was, like, 2-1 on the floor, and then to my room. And I just stopped there, and I remember sitting there, and I was so still, and I was so quiet, because I was like, there's an intruder. But then I was like, but did they just land? Like, I don't really know what's going on in my little brain. Yeah, that, obviously nothing was there when I did get up the courage to check. But yeah, that's my first encounter.
How long did that take to get up the courage to check?
Like 45 minutes.
How old were you?
Like 8.
45 minutes at 8 is pretty good.
Well, thank you.
I'd be sitting there for hours at eight years old.
Yeah.
No, that's 45. That's pretty good.
It's a lot of talking to.
So that, did that ever happen again?
No.
No idea as to what it was, or wow. But that was the first one that comes to mind that I vividly remember.
Yes.
So you went in. Did you know the museum had a history of paranormal?
Yes.
Okay, so you knew?
Yeah.
So going in, you knew. That's
didn't
good.
Didn't know the extent of it. And also going into it, I didn't know the history as much as I ended up finding out. But I knew a little bit.
So you had the experience, you knew it was there. What was your first paranormal experience in the museum? And how long did it take to happen?
I feel like the first ones that I kind of started experiencing, because this started kind of slow, gradually. I didn't really have like a groundbreaking, earth-shattering, first-time experience, whatever. I remember the footsteps. That's what I like most notably can call to is, and as you know, walking around the first floor of that place is just like creaky and every which way you step, you can't really walk around quiet.
We're in downtown Lyons, yeah. So there might be a fire.
I think there's a fire. Oh, God.
We power through.
We power through. But, yeah, the footsteps were definitely the...
Now, where were these footsteps?
So from where I was sitting in my office, I would say probably in the room right across the hall I would hear it. I would hear it walking from over in the gift shop area, sheriff's office. I mean, first floor. I did actually hear footsteps upstairs, but it wasn't as frequent.
Upstairs was never as active.
No.
At least in our talking to you and our time there, we caught a few things here and there, but the upstairs you'd think would be more though, given how many artifacts there are from
right.
the past.
Well, and that's what I was kind of thinking, too, is, like, the experiences are primarily due to the energies on the artifacts that are up there.
So we talked about the first thing being the footsteps.
Yeah.
Did anything ever happen that startled you?
Startled is... I don't know if that's the word I would use, but it's the most notable one. It's my favorite story to tell. So the way that my office was set up... if you can imagine, an 1854 building is really hard to heat in the winter. So what we did is we had a curtain that would be at the door of our office, and that's when we'd have the heaters on, it'd contain it to the one room, right? Makes sense. So I remember having it being closed. I was the only one there, and like I knew it. And I just saw poking, like a clear finger poke into the curtain from the other side. Now, I knew I was alone, but you know, you never know, but I didn't hear anybody come up. And I mean, I confirmed afterwards I was the only one there. But yeah, there was just poking, and it wasn't like a draft situation because that would move it a little bit differently. This was a very clear thing.
Yeah, wind definitely has its own way of moving things around.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've established that the first floor is where most everything happened to you. Was there any part of the property you felt uncomfortable in?
So, I don't know that I would say most notably one place over another. For the most part, being there, I didn't feel uncomfortable. I felt pretty, like, fine. Like, I didn't really feel... There has been a couple of times, and I can't really point it out one way or another, but where I would just feel uncomfortable. And it's like, I spent a lot of time there alone, a lot of time by myself, and late as well. And for the most part, it was totally fine, because I'm the type that I'm like, the real world's scarier than the paranormal world, at least to me, at least where I'm from. But there were, I'd say maybe two handfuls of times in the whole time that I was there that I felt uncomfortable, and it wasn't in a specific place. It was just everywhere. And it was like, it's time to go.
Is that what the feeling was? The fight or flight feeling?
Yeah.
Every time?
Every time that I would feel that, but it wasn't very often. It was every now and again. I would say definitely in the Halloween time frame for sure. But for one reason or another, it's always most active in October. But
and by the way, I should point out that in October, one of the fundraising things that the museum did was sort of like a haunted house thing. Not about like the inmates or anything, not disrespecting anybody who was there, but just sort of, it's a very dark, concrete-y place, and it's a perfect place to do like a thing for children and a thing for people to go through. So that's what she means by that. In case you hadn't been up here to see that. And I've seen those decorations, because those decorations are stored in some places that I've walked into while investigating and have startled me.
And it seemed to also be like that area of time, like the fall area of time. And I don't really know why, but I can say though that, I mean, there's that October 27th occurrence.
Yep. Can you explain what that is?
Oh, yes. So there was an inmate named Robert Redder. He was in for attempted murder, actually, of his wife, and wasn't a good shot. So that's where he lived. And he stayed there for a little while, and the plan was he was going to, at trial, they decided, you know, guilty, they were going to move him to Auburn, which had, like, at the time, I don't know if it does now, but at the time, big prison, main prison in the area. He didn't want to do that, and it was only 7 years, which is a long time, but, like, not that long. But he didn't want to do that, and so he convinced the guards at the prison here, the jail, that he had a wound that needed dressing. And so they would bring him a couple times a day carbolic acid and dressing. And he stockpiled the acid and then drank it in his cell. We don't know which cell.
We've tried to find out. Now, the October 27th date, why is that something that rings a bell?
Well, that's the day.
Yeah. And, but you also discovered him.
Well, thanks for reminding me. So I was there for 2 years. We, under me, did the Halloween. We call it the haunted jail. We turned the whole thing into this walkthrough haunted house. It takes us 3-4 days that we get to set it all up. And it's really just Margot, my friend Garrett, and I doing it. And we started the process, and this was in 2021. And Garrett and I were the only two there. And what we actually did, and I did this pretty frequently. I mean, this one's, the building's in town here, and it's not the greatest of areas. It's not awful, but a little sketchy. So whenever we would work late, we would lock the door. I mean, obviously, lock the door. As Garrett and I were working throughout the night, odd things would happen. And most notably, and there is video of this, the main door that we use has a motion sensor bell. So when somebody opens the door, it trips the motion and it is this loud, annoying bell. But you hear it, and it kept going off and over and over and over and over. Like, it was just going as if the door was held open and somebody was just walking in and out. But we locked the door. We literally took a video of the door and the bell just going and going. And we weren't messing with that room. Garrett was in the south cell block, and I was in the hallway where the stairs are. No explanation for that. I also have a video from that night as well. In the south cell block, there's decorations galore, and what we had was this pole with a bunch of chains hanging over it, because we were like props. And there's no air, like blowing wind, whatever, no draft, and all of the chains are still except for one that's just swinging back and forth. But all the other ones are still, so didn't find out until this October those videos were taken on October 27th.
The same day that he drank the acid. Now, you discovered this very recently. We were actually scheduled to do an event there at the museum, and 3 days before the event, Rhea reached out to us and said, "Hey, I just discovered something." So we actually started asking. So paranormal investigators have not even really had a chance to investigate this yet, because there's really only been one investigation since. And spoiler alert, for that investigation, we really didn't find anything. The location had some notable prisoners. William Fee, for example, the only person ever legally executed in Wayne County. Rhea has taught me to say legally on that.
You never know.
So this is purely speculative, but I'm just asking your opinion on this. Is William Fee there?
I think so. I don't think he is as present as it's made out to be. I think there is some energy from that. I think a lot of it has to do with how it happened and, like, the circumstances, you know, like, guilty or not guilty.
He was also hung right in the prison, to clarify.
And having that there is, because we do have the original scaffold, and so having that piece of very relevant history right there, right next to the spot, I do think that there is some energy. But what I will say from my own opinion is that he left when he was moments before he hung. He did not take blame, but he also said, "I don't hold that against anyone for making these decisions." I don't remember the exact quote, or that quote does exist and is known. But he basically says, like, "I have no hard feelings towards the sheriff, no hard feelings towards, you know, the people that started this whole thing and blamed, pointed fingers, whatever." He didn't die with malice and anger. So that's why I don't think he is as loud as
And I'm paraphrasing, and correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. You think whatever energy is there is more from the event of him being hung than the actual spirit himself?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, having investigated the location and been there, I believe Emily and I are probably inclined to agree.
Yeah.
Just based off the evidence we've found, other investigators may have found other things.
Yeah.
Now, I know for a fact that you had a very interesting experience that would lead you to believe that the sheriff is still there. Could you explain that experience? Because this is one of my favorite stories about another group. This happened after a different investigation, because Rhea cheated on us. No, it's the museum actually, during Rhea's time there, was one of the most investigated locations, because it's an amazing location. So Rhea took part in a lot of that. And I'm going to ask a little bit about that later, but you do have one experience with the spirit of the sheriff. Now, the sheriff's family lived in the basement, and the prisoners were upstairs, and the sheriff's wife would cook for them. A little different than today, so just so you know. So the sheriff, that was his home. And of course, the most famous sheriff, who Rhea will tell you about and her experience with, because this is a cool story. So.
Yeah, so when they when it was in operation, it was really very unique to its kind, and their thought around that when they built it was to give these inmates, and again, this wasn't a prison, this was a jail, so for a lot of people, this was the stepping stone to where they were going, and they thought, you know, putting them in an environment where they would see a family was going to give them, you know, pretty good experience and pretty good, like, rub off on them type of thing, be a good influence. And so the family, like sheriff, his wife, the kids, they had bedrooms upstairs on the second floor, so the inmates didn't go upstairs. The basement, like you said, was the kitchen. They had their like living space down there, and they would really spend time there. And the sheriff's wife always cooked meals for them every day. And then the inmates lived on the first floor in the back in the jail, and the front was the sheriff's office, deputy's office, and two front parlors, because you know it's a county building, so it has to have a meeting area. So my experience was going to be, oh gosh, I nearly forgot about this one, and this still, at the same token, still lives with me. Like you just mentioned it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. The most notable sheriff is the I'm going to get the statistic wrong because I can't quite remember, but one of the longest running sheriffs in Wayne County. And Sheriff Collins, oh my gosh, you can tell that I haven't worked there for a little bit. I'm like, I used to just have this out and ready to go. But yes, Sheriff Jerry Collins. And the connection that's really prominent there, not only was he really like notable for the county, but down the lineage, his great-granddaughter, I believe. Gosh, once again, please forgive me if I'm giving anything wrong. Like, I used to remember this off the top of my head. But she was the director there. She was in my position before me for a decade.
Wow.
She was very prominent in there, but there was a direct relation to Jerry Collins. So, I saw him. Yep. I had an investigation that night with a different group, another really wonderful bunch, and at the end of it, so probably like 1 a.m. or somewhere around then, I was standing in the gift shop and talking with them, and now most of the lights were off, but some we had turned on, you know, whatever. And I had, I want to say there was some light coming from a different room behind me, but it wasn't impacting that room. But anyways, I was talking to two people. They were right in front of me, and we were all going, you know, having the full conversation. So I was looking left, I was looking right, talking, looking left, looking right, whatever. One time in that conversation, I looked left, and over that person's shoulder, I saw a very, like, clear, crystal clear as day silhouette. So I didn't see really any facial features. I didn't see, like, much detail, but I saw a perfect silhouette in the sense that I looked, I saw it, and I looked away, realized in that moment, you know, double take, I look, not there anymore. So I know, or have the hunch, that it's Jerry, because one of the things that he most notably had in his photos was one of those like circle hats from that era. And
you could see it.
Yeah, clear as day. Clear as day, saw the hat.
So it was like a darker than dark silhouette.
Yes.
That's a really cool story. When you told me that, I definitely wanted to share that because that is a rare experience. But
it was crazy. And I afterwards, like, I didn't say anything to the people that I was talking to. I didn't, because I'm like, you know, I'm tired. Maybe it's nothing, you know. But I kind of went back and really took stock of that experience, and then ended up doing a little bit of research and seeing, like, so who did I see? Because it couldn't have, well, I mean, theoretically it could have been an inmate, but I really didn't feel like it was an inmate. I didn't have that feeling. And lo and behold, like, I could see the silhouette of, like, a suit and the hat. And, I mean, that's, it seems very basic.
Every photo that is of him in that building, he's wearing that hat. Even the mannequin.
Even the mannequin. mannequin.
As the hat, which I don't like mannequins, as we all know, but that's why I remember it so well, is because it has that. So.
And that's another reason why I jumped to it, too, mm-hmm. because that's how the mannequin is dressed. Yeah. So I'm like, it literally looked as if somebody had the mannequin right out there, and obviously that was not the case. But I did reconvene with that group mm-hmm. and kind of touch base, and I was like, you know, I didn't tell you this, but this happened, and he was like, I knew it. I knew you, like, you had a different look in your eye. Like, you were not in the conversation. You were distracted. Like, I could tell. And there was another instance we're talking, and I saw another thing out of the corner of my eye. And I looked, and he looked at the same time. Like, we both saw the same thing. It was one of those kind of nights.
They very rarely happen right in front of your face.
It's like crazy. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, so that's that crazy story.
No, it's a fantastic story. Now, you took part in a lot. Mm. Yeah, if you had to guess how many paranormal investigations you took part in there, could you give me a ballpark figure?
Probably 8 to 10.
That's it? I thought it would be a little more than that.
It might have been.
It seemed like you were always doing.
I know. we were there a lot. I could be. That was definitely like a ballpark. I just remember, like, there were some instances that, because I do the little forms, so I feel like I counted them at one point. But again, I haven't done that in a while.
What was your favorite part of being involved in those investigations? And were you involved in all of them?
Not all of them, no. Okay. There were some that, you know, I will also say we had investigations come in that were very theatrical. Very like, they have a camera with them. So that's what they're focusing.
I have 12, so I don't know what you're trying to say about me.
Well, I mean that in a sense that, like, they came in, like think of like a YouTuber mm-hmm. or like whatever. Like, they came in. I remember we were with one group, and the woman literally went and closed the door and was like, "Oh my god!" Like, on the door, and her and I were both like, "Okay." it's those types of people. So I have encountered that, and those are the people that I'm like, I'm gonna keep checking up on them because I don't want them messing with anything. But I've also had really genuine people. I had a psychic medium come in, and it was pretty much just her and I think her husband. They came all the way from Ontario, and because they wanted to look at this location, and she actually got Jerry's one of what we believe, and it took a couple months of digging, but what we believe to be one of Jerry Collins's deceased children, because he had children who had died in that house.
Wow.
Yeah.
The legit mediums are scary good.
Astounding. And like, again, I've had, you know, banging on the thing, and like, you can tell, but then this woman, like, and she came in to my office a couple times. I let her have her space, so I was like, I know that this person's genuine and whatnot, but yeah, I've gone on a couple of them. I think my favorite part is getting to like experience the things in a more like, we caught that kind of setting, because most of the time it's just me walking around and I'm like, I'm the only one here.
And I just showed her all the evidence we captured back in January that it's going to be in the upcoming video, so that's probably where her mind is in terms of her favorite part of it.
Yeah, looking back at the evidence and like seeing the things that like we didn't pick up on because they're EVPs or light anomalies, like you don't see that.
There's two investigations, the one that we experience and the one the equipment experiences. And
it's crazy.
It's fun to put the two together.
Yes.
When the time comes, despite the fact that evidence review takes a long time. So you're not there now. You left pursuing bigger and better things. And I guess I know partially the answer to this, because after we're done recording this, we're all going to go investigate a place across the street together. Because as anyone who's familiar with us, we grow our paranormal family through the people we meet along the way. This is how we've met Tim and Tracy. It's how we've met Rhea and Margo. But outside of Emily and I bothering you to come with us every once in a while, are you going to continue to your interest in the paranormal? Or are you going to continue you're going to continue working in the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not something that I will like start my own team, get my own equipment, stuff like that.
It's way less expensive that way.
That's what I heard, yeah. rumor has it. But going on these investigations, it's the group that I saw Sheriff Collins in. I'm still in touch with them as well, and they've, I mean, they're the type that, like, we're going to Mansfield in a couple months. Do you want to come? And I'm like, do I want to go to Mansfield? Obviously, I want to freaking go to Mansfield. That's going to be so cool if it comes to fruition, of course. And he's been on a couple of different, like, television shows and stuff like that. So it's a very different ballpark than this, which I also really love this. So I feel like you guys and them are, like, my only real ins in this realm. And, you know, I'm good with keeping it that way. I already work a lot, so.
Yeah, this is time consuming.
But it's so fun.
It's better, you know, sometimes it's nice to, you know, sometimes Billy and I miss the days of being like, hey, we got tickets for this. What do we have to do? Yeah. Nothing. We just have to show up.
Yeah.
No, that's great. And no, because of your experiences and because of where you were, I mean, it's good that you're pursuing that, because a lot of folks don't. A lot of people are not interested in any of the, except the spirits that they knew.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to go out and see different spirits in different locations in different ways. And now, I mean, if you have folks that are going to places like Mansfield, you might get some of the big places. And, you know what? When you come with us, we tend to go for I tend to prefer the smaller locations.
Yeah.
I tend to prefer the more, I don't want to say obscure, but there's some hidden gems, like the Museum of Wayne County History, that we had not heard of.
Yeah.
We would never have discovered places like that, like all the other places we've gone. So that's good that you want to stay in it. And it's good that you do that, because you had a connection with those folks.
And that's really all I'd probably put it, like, put that extent to, is, like, I found the people that I connect with and that I have a good time going with and whatnot. So I, you know, I'm good right there. I'm good and cozy right there.
That's fine. Best place to be.
I just got my Orange County Paranormal New York t-shirt, so I'm good where I am. Thank you.
Well, no, thank you. I really appreciated talking to you. Thank you for being our first guest on the Paranormal podcast. We appreciate having you and your insight into your expectations going in, how your expectations, you know, changed, how your experiences were. All great stories. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so happy to.
And I would say goodbye, but we're going across the street to do an investigation.
Yeah, we got
40 minutes. So, but
we got work to do.
But absolutely. Thank you, Rhea. Much appreciated.
Of course.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Dan.
Great stuff from Rhea there. We want to thank her again for sitting down with us and talking. We also want to thank Margo, her partner, who was with us just off camera, and thank them both for helping us put that together. Learned a lot of stuff. We've known Rhea for a little while, but learned some stuff about Rhea that we didn't know. And as we said, right after that interview, we went across the street to investigate the Omen Theater. So look for Rhea and Margo not only in the upcoming video about the Museum of Wayne County History, but also in some upcoming investigations, including the Omen Theater. So thank you again to Rhea for sitting down with us and talking to us and sharing her story. And we're going to continue to share the stories of the people we meet along the way. And, you know, when you talk to Rhea and you talk to folks very similar situations to her, it just goes to show you, you know, you don't know exactly what to expect when you walk into a new job or a new location. And over time and through repeating and being in a place over and over again, even the paranormal can become, as it did for Rhea and so many others, your new normal. Take care, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.